This program is produced and distributed by Keep the Faith.
Ladies and gentlemen, we present at this time the regular Sunday afternoon address of Father Charles E. Coughlin from Royal Oaks, Michigan.
Father Coughlin delivered a most appropriate discourse on the subject of labor unions. Please be advised that, due to the great demand for copies of this address and for copies of the address delivered by Father Edward Lodge Curran last Sunday, some delay in mailing is to be expected. Now Father Coughlin instructs me to announce that these two discourses, together with the stirring talk which you are about to hear today, will be mailed to all those who request them this week. Today's discourse sounds a call to action. Following 1936, Father Coughlin retired from all active organization. Today, he is encouraging the growth of the Christian Front. Not that it is his organization, but that he speaks to its promoters a word of encouragement and a word of advice. Write to Father Coughlin this week for a copy of this historic address. Before inviting the Reverend Speaker to the microphone, may I inform you that these presentations are paid for at full commercial rates. They depend upon your support and upon the circulation of Social Justice Magazine. And ladies and gentlemen, it is now my privilege to present Father Coughlin, who will speak to you on the subject of the popular front versus the Christian front. Father Coughlin.
My friends, ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you are expecting that I shall devote today's broadcast to John L. Lewis and to the devastating explosion for which he was responsible, not only within the ranks of labor, but also in the domain of politics. Today's references to that unfortunate incident will be brief. However, my friends, the cause of labor is not lost. The cause of labor depends upon no one man. All the mistakes of the past eventually will be rectified. Under Christian American leaders endowed with the courage to oppose, but also communism, there are certainly better days to come. Today's broadcast is concerned with the popular front that persists in coddling communists, and with the Christian front, which is opposed to communism as well as Nazi and other foreignisms. It is an address prompted by an editorial which appeared in this week's America magazine, edited by the Reverend Francis X. Talbot, S.J. Before referring to the editorial which appeared in America, permit me to ask you certain questions. Is it not true that we Americans have enjoyed liberty of speech for the past 150 years? Because of this God-given and constitutionally guaranteed right, is it not true that we have suffered our bookstalls and our street corners to be littered not only with filthy magazines, but with newspapers and periodicals which berated our Christianity and contemned our Americanism? By virtue of freedom of speech and of press, have not the communists published their Daily Worker? Have not the leftists and radicals hawked the sale of the new masses, the nation, and equality, and such magazines? When during the past 150 years, and particularly during the past 15 years, when have the vendors of these publications been attacked in public? When have goon squads descended upon the newsstands or the newsboys who hawked the sale of publications, whose advertised principles were religion is the opium of the people, world revolution, and America for the Soviet. It is true that formally and officially and constitutionally, groups of ecclesiastics and laymen have complained about the sale of lascivious, pornographic, sexualistic literature. But when have the ministers of the Christian church or organizations of Christian laity incited their followers to do violence contrary to the Constitution, to the Bolshevik publications which are displayed and sold with impunity on every newsstand in the nation? The answer is never. The principles of freedom of speech and freedom of press never have been called into question by the American citizenry until the past 2 years. And what I ask you has occurred during this interim to disturb this long record of liberty. Before answering this question, I shall read for you excerpts from an article which appeared in the Communist Daily Worker of July 23rd, 1939. It reads as follows. Mayor LaGuardia last night, commenting on an article and editorial in this week's Nation, that's the name of a magazine, which called attention to the growing Coghlanite and Christian Front terror in this city, New York, upheld the right to free speech, but declared that inciting to riot and creating racial and religious hatred does not come within the guarantee of freedom of speech. The magazine, The Nation, cited numerous instances of terror inspired by members of the fascist Coghlanite Social Justice Unit and the equally infamous so-called Christian Front. The editorial statement averred that democracies can put up with occasional crackpots, but, these are direct words, when a group sets out to cultivate a state of war in the streets of our city and to inflame the police against the whole racial section of the population, the time has come to bring that group to its senses or strip it of every last vestige of power. May I interrupt by asking, what proof do the editors of The Nation produce to indicate that the Christian Front cultivates a state of war in the streets? Mere assertion is no proof. And what vendor of social justice inflames the police force of New York against the Jews? No proof is offered against that. The Nation's editorial sympathized with Mayor LaGuardia, continues the Daily Worker, and the city administration in the difficulties encountered in evolving the methods to cope with the situation created by these fascist groups. So we're fascists. We who are Americans are dubbed fascists. However, the editorial of The Nation continues, we must not allow the present trend to continue in the name of democracy, and yet democracy itself must not be undermined in its own defense. As for those members of the police department who fraternize with Coghlanites and similar provocateurs, the editorial recommended that these policemen should be purged out of the police department to the last man.
editorial continues. Emotions are a powerful argument. And there is always expulsion for cause. There is no doubt that under reactionary administrations, such procedures are utilized up to the hilt. They must be used now, continues this editorial, by a liberal administration for the safety of the city. My friend, the above is a news excerpt from the Communist Daily Worker, which commented upon an editorial that appeared recently in a radical publication called The New Map. It speaks of street rioting. It sets down the statement that when a group sets out to cultivate a state of war in the streets of our cities and to inflame the police against the whole racial section of the population, the time has come to bring that group to its senses or strip it of every last vestige of power. Well, that's a challenge. And I ask the question, when was street rioting inaugurated in New York over the sale of magazines? And the answer is, not until literary opposition to the Daily Worker, the New Masses, and the Nation appeared on the streets of New York. Not until Social Justice Magazine challenged the publication of the Red. Not until communism was challenged word for word and move for move. And this new Red publication pronounces the ultimatum that the time has come to bring that group of Coghlanites and Christian fronters to its senses or strip it of every last vestige of power. When was such an un-American challenge ever pronounced before? By any Christian group that might have had reason to complain against the Bolshevik literature? No. But by that very group itself which cannot stand the white, piercing rays of truth which make manifest that group's depredations against our liberty. The compliment which the Nation and the Daily Worker has paid to Social Justice Magazine is priceless. By indicting our news weekly, the Bolsheviks have indicted themselves and have let America know that we are in the field to fight them. For some time past, the accusation that the Coghlanites have been responsible for street rioting in New York has been widely circulated. Innocent persons throughout America have been prone to accept this propaganda because they fail to remember that the so-called riot did not begin until Social Justice Magazine began to unveil the truth, the untruth, of the communistic periodical. Last Sunday, over this network, the Reverend Dr. Edward Lodge Curran indirectly clarified this situation. And today, an editorial appearing in one of the most outstanding Catholic publications in the world, America, edited by the Reverend Francis X. Talbot, squarely meets this issue which I have presented to you. The America editorial reads as follows, quotation. The cops of New York, God bless them and all the cops like them, are being assailed. Thousands of them, according to the Nation, are fascists and Coghlanites and Christian fronters, and they must be dismissed, inquired into, reprimanded, or at least told not to arrest communists and Semites. It seems that there has been a reign of terror during the past 6 months, or more in certain sections of Mayor LaGuardia Town. Coughlinites start an alleged fight. The policeman arrests the poor person the burly Coughlinite picks on. Not much is needed to make the nation scream, but the provocation now makes the nation scream to an editorial and 10 columns and 2.5 columns. Not only must the cops be discharged, but the Coughlinites and Christian Front boys must be cleared from the streets. The liberals used to champion freedom of speech and assembly. That was before all liberals turned out to be all leftists. The nation, fronting for the Semites and the communists, wants no freedom for any opposition. Wants LaGuardia's police at its beck. Wants no competition for the Daily Walker and the New Masses and equality. And wants social justice suppressed. You will pay attention to the screams of the nation. We pay attention, continues America Magazine. Because we recognize this added attack on Father Coughlin as part of a vicious campaign to sling slime at him and of a determination to silence him. More than that, the attack on Father Coughlin has become in reality an attack on Catholicism. Unquote America Magazine. There, my friends, are two current pieces of publicity. The one from the communist Daily Walker, the other from that intrepid Christian magazine, America. And back of these recently publicized articles, there's a story which is astounding to the ears of liberty-loving Americans. It is admitted that there have been, there still are, and what more, there will continue to be disturbances on the streets of New York. More than 6 months have passed since these disturbances were first noted. Dating from that time, those who raise their voices against Nazism only and those who are notable for their silence, which eloquently condones communism, they inaugurated a campaign to boycott the sale of social justice in the metropolitan sense. Oh, they were not satisfied in silencing my voice. They determined to dull my pen because they and their supporters control the newsstands of Greater New York. They succeeded in preventing the sale of social justice magazines in these places. And then when God-fearing men and women dared to compete with them on the sidewalks of New York and even in Union Square, the hotbed of communism, the disciples of Marx, of Lenin, of Stalin, and of atheism, and anti-Christianity and anti-Americanism, they initiated disturbances to embarrass us. Disturbances aimed at blaming us for the rioting. For a Coughlinite, a burly Coughlinite, attacking one who's against the sale of social justice. And today, at Royal Oak, one of these burly Coughlinites is visiting. A little girl, 21 years of age, who on 14th Street in New York was almost murdered by a mob of 300 Reds and Radicals last week for attempting to sell social justice. Burly Coughlin. Why, I ask, did the leftists adopt this policy of ostracizing social justice from the sidewalks of New York? Is it not more than coincidental that these alleged fights took place only when the Daily Walker, the Nation, and the New Masses and Equality were challenged? Only when the lovers of God and of American republicanism sought the exercise of the American right of free speech and free press, which the enemies of free speech and free press enjoyed unmolested over a period of 150 years. Meanwhile, the radicals have bellowed aloud across the nation the cry of stop thief. And they have modernized it effectively by spreading the malicious libel of anti-Semite. Oh, they've been very efficient in creating the belief in our country that anti-communists are anti-Semites. Do the respectable Jews of America thank them for that? Were they clever in adopting that childish strategy of impugning motives, of avoiding facts, and of refraining from meeting argument with argument by having recourse to their smear campaign in which they have indulged, and by a mob of 300 persons attacking a little girl? Are the leftists so bereft of the fundamentals of psychology that they and those who sustain them in their defamation do not understand that they have contributed to piling up an unfortunate wave of anti-Semitism which is beginning to wash over this country? Determined to gain their red victory at any price, why do they persist to the discomfiture of the thousands of good Jews in America in identifying communism with Semitism? Most opportunely did that eminent Jesuit, Father Francis X. Talbot, inform the readers of this week's America that the editors of the Bolshevik lover magazine, The Nation, are demanding the dismissal of the cops of the city of New York who are in sympathy with the Coghlanites and the Christian fronters. Or at least, if not their dismissal, that these cops be directed to refrain from arresting communists and Semites. And well did Father Talbot say that he and his staff recognizes this added attack against Father Coghlan as part of a vicious campaign to sling slime at him and of a determination to silence him, and more than that, that the attack on Father Coghlan has become, in reality, an attack on Catholicism. Gentlemen of the Popular Front, yes, you are listening. Gentlemen of the Radical Front, gentlemen of the sworn allegiance to atheism, to Bolshevism, and to the hammer and sickle, your smear campaign will never be answered by my lips, because Christian America recognizes that you are too cowardly to meet facts with facts. Because Christian America now knows that when you are confronted face to face with deserved opposition, you cringe and run like Oriental brigands to the executive and juridical authorities of this nation, beseeching them to muzzle your opponents and leave without competition the field of propaganda for you to plow, to sow, and to reap for the ultimate destruction of religion and patriotism. Or you may be well schooled in the tactics of Moscow, in the arts of mob violence, in the science of the law's obstruction. Ah, but you forgot to learn the rudimentary lessons of Christian fortitude, of American fair play, of liberty and independence. You may to destroy it. You may have been efficient in taking advantage of the apathy of God-fearing Americans to insinuate your minions in government, in press, in cinema, and on radio. Ah, but all that belonged to yesterday. Why, yesterday that you watched is a nightmare. You may have been coming to organize your league for peace and democracy. You may have been adroit enough to inculcate your philosophy within the ranks of these institutions and to assume their leadership. And you may have been powerful enough and intriguing enough to persuade gracious but ill-informed citizens to speak words of comfort for you. You, the persecuted one. Yes, 300 of you persecuting a little girl. Oh, but you overplayed your hand. You have taught, and you still continue to teach Americans that anti-communism is anti-Semitism, which is a lie. You have deceived our citizenry with the poppycock of democracy by insisting that not only Great Britain and France belong in that category, but that your dictatorship of Red Russia enjoys the same qualification. In the name of democracy and free speech, you Bolsheviks, you publishers of the nation and the new republic and the new masses and the daily worker, together with your lesser hierarchy in the press, you tried to convince us that the cause of Negrin, of Del Veo, of the Passionaria was the cause of liberty. When these three red leaders of Spain just recently informed the world that they were fighting not for democracy, but for communism, now you have the effrontery to prate of free speech, of free press, and of liberty when you are caught in the act of running to the mayor of the city of New York to suppress the sale of Social Justice magazine. Oh, certainly you've overplayed your hand. And in overplaying it, you have invited repercussions upon yourselves and your followers. Have you forgotten, you Bolsheviks, what occurred in Poland following the revolution in 1917? A defense mechanism rose up against you and your satellite. Have you forgotten what happened in Germany, in Hungary, and in Austria? A defense mechanism rose up against the butchery of your Lenins, your Trotskys, your Zinovievs, and Belakuns. Have you forgotten what transpired in Spain? A defense mechanism was organized against your atrocities, your atheism, and your world revolution. Ah, but like the Bourbons, you will never learn. God be good to the poor religious Jews in Europe whom you and your godless kind labeled as communists because you did not have the courage to stand and fight on your own principles. And you had to raise the cry of anti-Semites against anyone who opposed you. Only cowards would assert the anti-communists are anti-Semites. And you and your kind are cowards to hide behind such a nefarious lie. Now that you've spoken it, now that you've printed it, now that you've circulated it from Bangor to Los Angeles and from Minneapolis to New Orleans, what will you contribute to undo it and to save the decent Jews from the unjust persecution which you are inviting upon their heads?
I'll tell you. As usual,
you'll do nothing. Like Belakoun, who fled from Hungary, you'll flee. Spain, you'll seek sanctuary in some new land to begin once again your gnawing, devastating, destructive work of world revolution. What are your aspirations for America? You're dreaming dreams that all Marxism failed in Russia, in Poland, in Germany, in Hungary, in Austria, in Spain, and in Mexico. Yes, I said failed. You're dreaming dreams that it failed. You're dreaming dreams that it will succeed here in this land. While Columbus and his crew from the Santa Maria, while Washington fought for freedom and righteousness, and while the founders of our Constitution wrote an instrument of civilization which is obnoxious to your understanding. And if you fail, you who will flee as did your comrades in Spain, you're hoping to leave behind the ashes of grief and the chaos of destruction. Oh, but you will be disappointed. I'll tell you what you will leave behind and what you are creating at this moment. You are arousing the peaceful Americans from their repose and security. Unconsciously, you are Paul Revere's. God save the comparison. Insofar as you are marshaling the Christian American forces to unite, to unite to the last man against your Oriental invasion, you are assembling the ranks of militant Christianity, of militant Americanism, in a defense mechanism against your un-Christianity and your un-Americanism. Go on and carry on your campaign. Try your utmost to divide the rank of priest against priest, of citizen against citizen, of industry against labor, of Catholic against Protestant, of Gentile against Jew. Try to do that. And you will meet with a worse failure than you and your kind have ever faced in any sector of this modern world. Oh, we regret that for the moment only, you and your kind have succeeded in Russia under one form, where you destroyed the last vestige of liberty. And in Germany, under another form, where the defense mechanism for which you were responsible proved to be a backwash which engulfed in its ocean of tears the religious liberties of Catholic, Protestant, and Jew. But you will not succeed in America. And the defense mechanism which unconsciously you are originating will not be misdirected into the channels of inordinate Nazism. You will not succeed in creating your popular front from the labor movement, the unsound leadership and the blunders of John Lewis have proven that. You will not succeed in seducing Catholic and Protestant to hate the Jews because they're Jews. You will not succeed in propagandizing America into a world war for the purpose of upholding the leaning bulwarks of your Russian-Soviet experiments and your international plunderbunds. You will not succeed in doing any of these things. But you will succeed in living or death. Of the book. This is America. It is not a Russia where 90% of the population was untutored and devoid of the facilities of the radio and free press.
a Russia that had been exploited for years by the knout, the dungeon, and the Siberia of a tyrannical tsardom? I ask you, have you not learned from your failures? Gentlemen of the popular front, or rather, gentlemen behind the popular front, for you're afraid to assume the first rank. This is America. The same spirit which motivated our forebears in 1776 inspires us today. If then the heroes of our homeland risked their fortunes and their lives against a George III for his financial aggressions, rest assured that we, his descendants, and we who have made of this our homeland, we will risk our fortunes and our lives against your invasions, calculated to destroy both political and religious and financial liberty. On that point, do not be mistaken. For there is no power under God which will bid us bow our heads and bare our breasts and minds either to the barrage of your bullets or your propaganda. Refresh your memory on the events which have transpired this past 3 years in Spain. You and your kind had a popular front. First, you deceived the millions of the laboring class by your control of the press, by your fanciful names of freedom, by your high-sounding phrases of democracy. Oh, at length, you resorted to force. You forced your ideologies upon a Christian nation. You forced your political experimentations upon a peaceful people. And finally, when nothing else was left but to meet fire with fire and force with force, there arose a Franco. Yes. You in America do not like his name, the name of your nemesis. You in America who collected funds from the CIO and from 1,000 other agencies to aid and abet the enemies of Franco. You congregated the American Abraham Lincoln Brigade to fight for the cause of the hammer and sickle. Your comrades from France and Germany and Russia and England and from every nation in the world, assembled in the Foreign Legion to help tear down the cross and massacre Christians in the name of your democracy. Oh, but when the crisis came, there came a Franco. And when Franco came, there came the dissolution of your lost diabolical cause. And I'll ask you, who composed Franco's forces? And I'll answer the question. It was the Christian Front. Do you want history to repeat itself in America? Or are you ready to retreat and admit that you and your snarling breeze have no place beneath the stars and stripes? You, the panderers of communism, the protagonists of anti-Semitism, the defamers of Americanism, and the cringing, cowardly advocates of press Muslims. Yes, gentlemen of the Christian Bolshevik Front, as the America magazine says, this smear campaign which you are directing at my person is a subterfuge, and we know it. For in truth, hate is directed primarily at Catholicism. And if at Catholicism, at Christianity. For I assure you, Catholics and Protestants will not be found divided in this crisis. And you and all the control of the press and the radio which you exercise can never divide them. In one sense, we thank you, communists and fellow travelers, for giving the religious people of this nation an opportunity to arouse themselves, to unite themselves for God and comfort. Long enough we've been apathetic. But today, I assure you, we're aroused. And your challenge is hereby met by a mightier challenge. We will fight you shoulder to shoulder and cheek to jowl and be content to use your weapon. If you choose to fight in the American way, according to the rules of liberty of press and liberty of speech, well and good. But, if you persist in carrying on your fight by denying us liberty of speech, liberty of press, and consequently liberty in politics, we will fight you in Franco's way if necessary. Call this inflammatory, if you will. It is inflammatory. Rest assured, we'll fight you and we'll win. I understand that units of the Christian Front have formed and are forming in New York City and elsewhere. Does that mean anything to you Bolsheviks? Do you forget how units of your communistic front formed in Russia in 1918? And do you forget what Zinoviev said to the Northern Commune on September 19, 1918? Well, to refresh your Oriental memories, here is the barbarism to which he gave utterance. Quotation from Zinoviev. To overcome our enemies, we must have our own socialist militarism. We must win over to our side 90 million of the 100 million of population in Russia. As for the rest, we have nothing to say to them. They must be annihilated, unquote Zinoviev and the Popular Front. Gentlemen, do you want the Christian Front to adopt the same technique as the Zinoviev Front? The technique of annihilation? Or do you want the Christian Front to retain the Christian teachings? Well, gentlemen of the Popular Front, I advise you tonight to assemble your meeting. Tomorrow, call your caucuses. And I advise you to revise your tactics. But ponder upon this fact, that the Christian Front is no longer a dream. It is a reality in America. A reality that grows stronger, more courageous, and more determined under the threat of your ideological invasion. Were I a member of the Christian Front, had I any influence in blueprinting the principles and the policies of the Christian Front, I would say this. Gentlemen of the Christian Front, since you have adopted a name that was hallowed in the poverty of Bethlehem, made glorious in the streets of Nazareth, and on the temple steps of Jerusalem, since you have chosen to designate yourselves by his hallowed name, whose hands clasped the nails, whose brow bore the crown lacerated body was sealed in a tomb from which he arose glorious and immortal. Bear in mind, gentlemen of the Christian front, that he is the Prince of Peace. He came not to destroy, but to perfect. He dwelt amongst us not to teach the doctrines of subjugation and slavery, but the gospel of liberty and brotherhood. It was his lips that pronounced the counsel of love one another. It was his voice that sounded the warning that they who use the sword shall perish by the sword. Therefore, gentlemen of the Christian front, before your spokesmen ascend the rostrum to discuss Americanism and Christianity, I pray you, model your speech after the Sermon of the Mount. If you are assailed or assaulted, be mindful that when he was spat upon, contemned, ripped of his garments and lashed at the pillar, he suffered pain. Recollect his admonition to render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Yea, even when you are arraigned before some Pontius Pilate of judgment, when you are victimized by slander, when you are maligned and calumniated, be you mindful that though you could summon a legion of angels to your defense, you must not take the law into your own hands. You are not fighting against the law. You are organizing to protect the law and to perfect the law. What though the modern scribes and Pharisees form your facts? What though they accuse you of stirring up the multitude? What though they maintain that you consort with sinners, be they Nazis or anti-Semitic or whatnot? Well, not more scurrilous epithets than these. Hold at Jesus Christ. Gentlemen of the Christian front, I am sadly conscious that in Germany, when Adolf Hitler protested the Tears Movement, was in the defense of Christianity. Oh, beware of falling into his evil ways by assuming to yourselves the interpretation of Christianity and its practices, by perpetrating in its sacred name the excesses which are frowned upon by Christianity. Oh, be ye Christian in the full sense of the word. The crusaders of old were Christians when they repulsed the Mohammedan hordes. We saw the brave Polish people establish a Christian front. We saw it spring up in Italy. In the past, we have witnessed the activities of a Christian front that was forced to defend the lives, the liberties, and the properties of Spain against the invasion of the International Popular Bolshevik Front. Christianity, however, does not teach that you and your fellow citizens shall submit to any injustice which definitely aims at the destruction of the immortal souls of men. Christianity does not teach that you, gentlemen, shall submit to an invasion of ideologies when these ideologies are aimed at the destruction of Christianity. Christianity does not teach that the mystical body of Christ shall submit to the mystical body of Satan. Christianity does not teach that a peaceful citizenry will surrender unjustly private properties, liberties, and national culture to an unjust aggressor. Nevertheless, the Christian way is the peaceful way. Until Until all argument having failed, all civil authority having failed, there is left no other way but the way of defending ourselves against the invaders of our spiritual and national rights, the Franco way. And when your rights have been challenged, when all civil authority has succumbed before the invaders, then and only then may Christians meet force with force. Remember this, gentlemen of the Christian Front. In no way can you collaborate with the Bolsheviks. In no way can you compromise with the Bolsheviks. There is only one way we will deal with them. They must retreat from the theater of their activity and their atheistic plans for Sovietizing America must be abandoned. There is only one flag of Bolshevism that we respect, and that flag is the white flag of surrender. Need I warn you against false leaders? Recollect that your principles, gentlemen of the Christian Front, may be as pure as the driven snow, and recollect that these principles can be perverted by self-seeking men. Carry always with you this thought, that a Christian front must never become an anti-racial front. If in your contest for the supremacy of Christ and his principles, and for America and its traditions, if you come in conflict with individuals who are anti-God or anti-American, characterize them not as persons of such and such a race, be they Jew or Gentile. And most important, a worthwhile Christian front must be a united Christian front. Factionalism must be abandoned. The desire for leadership on the part of individuals must be sacrificed. Under one head, who is forsworn to practice the principles of Christianity, every group in every city in every state must be marshaled. The Christian Front Organization is not a debating society. It is an action society. It is not a destructive force. It is a constructive force. It is not an organization for warfare, but it is an organization for peace. Again, I repeat, if unity is lacking, if the spirit of Christ is wanting, the Christian Front will be nothing more than a barbaric mob front. Finally, gentlemen, be not negative in your activity, but be a positive. Before Christ, before America, carry on for God and country. A word to you, gentlemen of the Bolsheviks. Your aggression, your treatment of atheism, your challenges against free press and free speech, your incitements to hatred and your attempts to Bolshevize America in politics, in industry, in education and government, your practiced campaign of vilification, your browbeating and manhandling of those who would oppose you. These and many other causes have been responsible for the just indignation which we Americans entertain against such policies and practices, and you can extend your popular front across America and try to hide behind it. But at last we discovered you, and we penetrated right through to the very source of your malevolence. And your challenge has been accepted. And I assure you that this battle between truth and error, between God and anti-God, between nationalism and internationalism, this will continue until your red flag is hauled down, until the white flag of surrender is unfurled. And in the meantime, if you care to carry on, you have the discomfort of knowing of your past failures. In the meantime, if you do not emulate the traditions of your European comrades who ran like rats for safety, leaving behind their disillusioned followers to bear the brunt of defeat, you will be responsible for building up such a defense mechanism as this world never witnessed. A defense mechanism which will either isolate you or obliterate you if you persist in pursuing your attacks against religion and constitutional Americanism. There's no question of your compromising with us. We know that. And no question of our compromising with you. You've been told that. This fight, then, is a death struggle between your internationalism and our Americanism, between your atheism and our cherished religion. What though you send me threatening letters? What though you have even designated the day of my death? Unless I withdraw from this contest. I'm not important. Nor is this a battle between individuals who are important. Carry out your threats if you dare, but recognize that this contest is between God and anti-God. Between the principles of Americanism and the principles of Sovietism. I warn you, members of the Bolshevik Front, that the stars and soon keep flying from all public institutions long after the red emblem of Russia shall have been formed in the dust of time, and the cross of Christ shall continue to adorn our temples long after the hammer and sickle shall have taken their place with the emblems of the pagan past. Look ye in yonder evening sky, and you will see there, as did Constantine of old, the cross of the crucified one, and above it, if you have spiritual eyes to see, there are inscribed these words, in hoc signo vince, in this sign, thou shalt conquer. Nothing like that was ever said about the sign of the hammer and sickle. You of the daily walker and of the new masses, you of the nation, and you the fellow travelers who form the popular front, better known as the Bolshevik Front, recognize that in this modern era, the contest stands between the forces of the Jew, Karl Marx, and the forces of the Jew, Jesus Christ. You must choose one or the other. For as Christ said, you are either with me or against me. Oh, you cannot succeed. You Bolsheviks are roused the opponent into the ranks of the Christian Front. And they will succeed if the spirit of the Christian Front is the spirit of Jesus Christ. God bless you, ladies and gentlemen, who have the Christian courage to oppose not only Nazism, but also, as Mr. Mitchell said, a copy of this afternoon's address, together with copies of the two previous Sundays' address, will be mailed to you.